Welcome to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Cat Dancer.
Riding around in my pickup truck, I got no money and I got no luck. What's a poor girl to do? But drink that shining rupee flat in my leaky boots, my old felt hat. I'm just smoothing out my blues. When mama keeps tapping her shoe, waving her finger too. Yes, yes, my mama do. I got dirt on my hands, dirt on my face. Old grandpappy's setting the pace. That's the golden rule. Pound them posts, string that wire. The sun's so hot and I'm on fire. You know that I ain't a mule, but mama keeps tapping her shoe, waving her finger too. Yes, yes, my mama do.
My name is Cat Dancer, and I am an acoustic roots, blues, and blues spiritual woman from Edmonton, Alberta.
That's quite a mouthful. What's the story of Cat Dancer? How did the girl from Edmonton become the queen of the swamp blues?
That moniker was given to me, you know, years ago, actually, by a journalist in the Georgia Strait, and it really stuck around and seems to fit my music for sure. So the swamp blues really developed because my view of the blues is quite different, I think, from most people's understanding. It's a blend of various blues styles that you can find throughout the southern United States, where I lived in 2008 and took residency there. And it's a real blend of, you know, anything from a lap slide style right through to, you know, a national resophonic style or a banjo style blues, and uses many different techniques to achieve that.
What is it about those styles that speak to you that have captured your imagination?
I think the biggest thing for me is that I feel that they're becoming a lost art form. And the Chicago blues style, which is certainly, you know, a relevant style in its own right, and a beautiful style, has become so pronounced that the early roots of the blues and the essence of the writing and this and the performance and the singing of the blues has really sort of taken a hit and really needs to be revived, because the whole point was to bring our emotional lives, our lives, our everyday lives to the blues, and to sing from that place, not from a make-believe place, and to sing out that pain so that there could be healing, or to sing out that humorous side so that we could all have a good time at a party, you know, whatever the case was. And those kinds of things have really been thrust to the outside of the blues world, unfortunately.
I see a river of grace that flows deep and wide, and those in a leaky lifeboat get left behind. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Nothing Make Believe about passing a time, the new album.
Yes.
Can you tell me about how this came together?
Well, this album was written and the initial stages were recorded. I packed up my car in 2008, left Edmonton and followed the railway tracks actually from my home in Waldron, Saskatchewan, where I was raised. I followed the railway line because when I was a child, that was very much a part of my life. My father, an engineer, we lived right near the railway line, and I followed the CN rail to Winnipeg. And then many people don't know that the CN line actually goes south from Winnipeg right to the Gulf of Mexico. So I was able to follow that all the way through to Louisiana. And in fact, you know, it was a snowy day when I first wrote actually Little Alice, which is the lead track. It was a snowy day in Saskatchewan when I first wrote that song. And then, 8 days later, I'm in a juke joint in Mississippi and I see, a CN train go by and write Miss Bessie's Blues. So you get the essence of the trip of those 6 months of tutoring from David Honeyboy Edwards and Coco Taylor. You get the essence of those influences coming through on that album.
Can you tell me a little something about the title track?
Passing a Time was the second song I wrote in Saskatchewan. Passing a Time is, to me, not to compare myself to Sunhouse, okay, who I hold up as the greatest blues person of all time. But when Passing a Time, when Sunhouse wrote Death Letter, he had something to get off his mind, a certain pain and a certain story. And if you watch that on YouTube, you can actually see the pain. And when I wrote Passing a Time, that's where that came from me, is I had a story to tell about my father, who was a moonshine runner and died very early from alcoholism, and I had a story to tell about that and a weight to get off my chest about that that particular story.
Folks stop and stare and I tell them my papa's gone blind. Truth is he done drank a tub of that Beaujolais wine. I could, but I ain't gonna cry. Ooh, passing the time. This old in my heart, just like Evangeline. My mouth might, but my eyes never lie. Oh, 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 Byzantine.
You mentioned Bessie Smith. She figures prominently on this album. A hero of yours.
Yeah. Bessie Smith awoke me from my pop music slumber. I was very late to music. I heard, I was still ordering Columbia House, I'm afraid to say. And I forgot to send a CD back called Roots and Blues. And I thought, oh, what the hell is Roots? Oh, what the hell is this? Right. So I forgot to send it back. I'm stuck with the darn thing. So I popped it in and heard Bessie Smith sing, you know, there ain't nothing I can do or nothing that I can say. And I just went, what? What kind of music is this? Whose voice is this? What is going on? And it stirred this immense passion in me. It was the flame. It ignited a flame so massive. I was 33 years old. I had never played, never written, never sang. And all of a sudden, I felt myself just so passionate about early blues music. I can't help but to think it's a soul thing, you know. And so anyhow, I learned every song I could from Reverend Gary Davis, Sunhouse, Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey. I learned everything I could, and including guitar work. And then in Mississippi, I lived in the hotel where Bessie Smith died. I lived across the hallway from where she died at the Riverside Inn, and made it my home for the rest of the recording of the album. And it was an absolutely magnificent experience to feel so close to someone who woke me from my deep sleep musically. Was an amazing experience.
Old Victrola makes the saddest sounds as scenes of you twirl round and round. Spun until my groove wore down, and nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Nothing makes me feel the blues like Miss Bessie do. Yeah.
You talked about Little Alice. You talked about Bessie Smith, of course, and the title track. Are there other tracks on Passing the Time that really stand out for you?
For me, I love Birds and Bees Me. Birds and Bees Me is my attempt to make fun of all the fellas who have made fun of all the women through the years and have used, you know, double entendre of their own body parts to get things moving. And so I had decided that I really wanted to push back. and so I lent out Birds and Bees Me. So that I hope it should make people blush. I'm out touring Passing the Time. This summer will be my second summer with it, and I expect that this will be the best summer of all with it, because in some ways I'll be saying goodbye to it, because I'll be working on a new project soon and coming up with new ideas. So I expect that the passion that I bring to my live performances this summer will exceed anything I've done before.
Well, that's obviously what we're hoping, because you're coming to the Vancouver Island Music Fest.
I know!
How did that come about?
Well, Doug Cox was an inspiration for me. I had been playing guitar for 2 months. I met him at Hornby Island, and I got on stage and played a song called Substantial Woman Blues. And Doug and I have just had a really beautiful connection through the years. He gave me my first chance at a folk festival to see what it was like to be among the greats, and how, like, once when you're among the greats, then you get a chance to see how far you have to go as your musician. And he gave me that chance back in, I think it was 2003. And I'd only been playing for 18 months at that point, and gave me my chance. And so now I want to come back, and I really want to thank Doug, first of all, and the Vancouver Island Music Festival, because the fans were so wonderful to me. But I also really, really want to deliver at this festival more than any other festival, because I've come a long way since then. So I'm really looking forward to being there.
So, Mr. Preacher Man, if you got it, better put it on now. So, Mr. Preacher Man, if you got it, you better put on me now. Yes, and if you've been telling lies, you better pack up your bags and just leave town. Yes, if you've been telling lies, you better pack up your bags and just leave town.
Dancer on the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. This year's music festival promises to be one of the most successful ever. The lineup is impressive and the tickets have sold like never before in the festival's 18-year history. So the last word goes to Artistic Director Executive Producer Doug Cox, who's wishing everyone a wonderful music fest experience.
And, you know, the other point that I'd really like to get across is just how proud we are of our team of 1,300 volunteers and our staff and our board of directors. Our festival is truly put on by the community, and it is a nonprofit organization. There's two festivals in the Comox Valley that are nonprofit festivals. There's us and the Philburg Festival, and it's owned by the community, and it's run by the community, and we have a phenomenal community for that.
That's Music Fest Artistic Director, Executive Producer Doug Cox. Thanks for listening to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan. And thanks to Helen Austin and Todd Butler, who'll be back to MC and perform this year.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.